Tuesday, September the 5th. Began early because I was leaving for Texas to spend 4 working days winding up the ranch, the work on Lyndon's part of the new addition, and will be returning to Washington Friday night unless he joins me. There is an increasing glow from the outcome of the election in Vietnam, a sort of relief that expands into confidence. And then the House and Senate are out of town until next week, and those add up to a very strong possibility that he may fly to Texas tomorrow night, but I can't lose the 2 days waiting. And so I was up a little past 7, finished a little work at the desk, said goodbye to Lyndon, and went out to Dulles to catch the 9:30 plane for Dallas. It's one of those rare and wonderful stretches of weather when the air is like wine and the sunlight clear and fresh minted, and there's a feeling of renewal. It's just sheer joy to be alive. At Dallas, Dale met me and we started for the ranch to find that amazingly we couldn't land there because of fog. So we flew to Austin. But the feeling of being in tune with the universe was only accelerated because what we needed so desperately here in Texas was rain. Our conversation, our thoughts, our prayers are all centered in that direction. We talked ahead to Lucy's house to say we were coming. We stopped at Youngblood's and picked up a box of chicken. I was so ravenous I couldn't wait, with nothing but coffee and juice, at 7:30 this morning. So I ate half the chicken sitting in the back seat of the car as we drove up to Lucy's house. Phyllis and the baby were there. Jerry was out with Pat at work. And we all gathered around the kitchen table, the real center of the house, as in most homes. And I ate the rest of the chicken while they talked. Lynn, a fat cherub, was asleep on his stomach, his little hands fisted, his profile looking like an Arthur Hitchcock drawing. Jerry and Phyllis are going to move into Mrs. Johnson's old apartment. And there's another job of painting and papering. How nice that will be for Patrick. With Jerry in law school here, and a feeling that he has his own stock in Austin, and not just Lucy's friends. I made calls about the house, Roy and Herbert Wells, and answered one from Bobby Lehman in New York, and then left for the ranch, stopping at Oak Hill to ride with Roy. I think if we added it up hour by hour, I spent more time with Roy White in the calendar year of 67 than with any other one person, and a gentle, skilled person he is. Going through Johnson City, I made my brief, satisfying detour to see Linda's oak trees and the boyhood home. And we went to the ranch at 4:30 and spent 3 hours going through the house, talking to Mr. Warwick and checking on all the details, lamenting a few and mostly very pleased with the progress. Going to the Martin house to list all the repairs that need to be done there, the bath to be tiled, some painting. I talked to Lucy on business service and arranged to meet her at El Rancho. Roy and I drove back in the sunset, and when I walked into El Rancho, a typical American tableau, 1967, met my eyes. Two young couples out for dinner, fine-looking youngsters, completely relaxed, a baby on a papoose board, propped between each couple. Lynn was fast asleep, and little Jerry the Third was wide-eyed, alert, regarding everything with wonder and making no objection. And so they remained while we had our Mexican dinner, Jerry and Pat and I, a mug of beer, and Austin friends came over and oohed and awed at the babies, said hello to Pat and Lucy, and were introduced to Jerry and Phyllis. Helen and Bob Finney were among them, with their daughter Susan, who's getting her Ph.D. at the university, and very studious she looks. The Mexican proprietor, obviously an old friend of Lucy's and Pat's, came up with a proprietary air, overseeing young Patrick Lyndon. The young parents were having a good time with complete ease, and the babies accepted this as exactly the sort of things babies were used to, and I marveled. We were back at Pat and Lucy's before 10 o'clock, and I had that most luxurious of treats, an early bedtime. I crawled in bed in Lucy's front guest room, and she came in and curled up on the foot of the bed, and we talked for nearly 2 hours. Lengthy discussions about all of her old boyfriends and what had happened to them, and about the process of her growing up, on which she's very philosophic and amusing, and a deep discussion of her daddy's big problem, on which her opinions are purely subjective and totally in favor of him not running for the presidency again. I want my daddy alive, One of the real joys of my life is the gradual coming together of Lucy and Lyndon. For years, she resented him as the man who always took me away, who was never a part of the family himself, at least not reliably present at a specified hour. And now she is his most understanding champion. Lucy is a delightful little person to watch. She is the eternal Eve. And if her housekeeping leaves something to be desired, and a brief walkthrough indicates that it does, I think her husband will always be a happy man, because she is always gay, daintily dressed, and very articulate about his good qualities. She has the quality of grace. She remembers to express appreciation, and in such a fresh, quotable, charming manner that I hope she will go back to school sometime and take creative writing and learn to make the most of what I think is a real vein of natural talent.